let's get into God's Word, shall we? I don't know yet what verse we're going to be starting with, so just take your Bibles and, yeah, just open them. Yeah, there you go. And maybe you'll be right. The reason is last week we started on a subject that as we got into it, I realized it was really going to take 2 weeks to cover it well. And I know some of you may not have been here last week, and I don't want to start you totally cold. And yet if I reteach all of last week, we'll end up exactly where we ended up last week, right? So I just will need to talk for a while, which I don't ordinarily like to talk as much, but to catch you up with what we were talking about last week. One of the things we got into was the confession of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said about himself, the things he said about himself. And if you look at some of the things Jesus Christ said about himself, you know, the casual observer, because remember, Jesus didn't have walk around with a halo or floating off the ground, right? And the casual observer, when Jesus Christ spoke, might have said that, the audacity of the guy, you know. How dare he say he talks to God? How dare he say he's the Son of God? How dare he say no man comes to the Father but by him? You know, how dare he say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? He made some pretty bold statements. He made some pretty bold statements. And yet what we saw in the Word is the reason he could make those bold statements is because God said it first. He was just repeating what God said. If he had made it up, that would be a different story. But Jesus Christ was just repeating what God had already said. May have been bold, but it was true, wasn't it? Jesus Christ made those bold statements, but they were true. They were true. And the same thing is true for you and me as born-again ones, as Christians. If God's Word says something about me, and I repeat it, that may be bold, but I'm just repeating what he says, right? And if God says it, is it true? What do you think? You guys aren't sure. Is it God says it is true? Just nod and that'll be fine. Yeah, if God says it, of course it's true. So though it may sound bold to the casual observer, I'm just saying what's true. If I say I'm a son of God, pride goes before a fall, brother. God said it first. God said it first. If I say that I'm righteous in his sight, he said it first. If I say that I have access to him, he said it first. So although it may appear bold or even prideful to some, when we speak what God's Word says about us, we're just speaking the truth. We're just confessing what he's already said. You know, many, many Christians, of course, are still confessing that which is past. You know, last week I talked about how God's Word's really out of sight, and it'll really turn you on and blow your mind if you read God's Word. And, of course, the teens came up to me afterwards and said, Tom, we don't talk that way anymore. Or something like that. Not a bad thing for believers to say to each other, you know. Joe says, well, you know, I feel like I'm unrighteous today. Well, we don't talk that way anymore. We don't talk that way anymore. See? Because that's no longer true. That may have been true at one time in your life. But if you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, believe that God raised him from the dead, for you to confess, well, I'm still not totally complete. That may have been true 20 years ago. May have been true a week ago if you weren't born again. But now that's no longer the truth, is it? See, our situation has changed. Our situation has changed. Let's say you came here from another country and became a citizen of this country. Okay? Randall, where's Randall? He'll know. You moved here from Louisiana. How long before they let you become a citizen? He's still working on it. Is it 7 years? 7 years? I think it's 7 years. You know, you come from someplace else like Louisiana, and 7 years, you can become a U.S. citizen. Someone will afterward tell me, oh, there's more to it, or no, it's 3 years. But, you know, there's a period of time there, right? You don't just show up and they say, well, welcome citizen. There's a period of time there. If you were to say, let's say you moved here from Beirut. Okay. 7 years later, you become a citizen. If you're still sending little Johnny off to school saying, watch out for terrorists on the way to school, Johnny. You know, don't step on any landmines. You'd be out of touch with reality, wouldn't you? Now, your first few days, maybe, you'd send Johnny off to school, say, don't step on any, and he'd say, oh, wait a minute. No, things aren't that way here, right? Things used to be that way, maybe. Maybe that's the way I used to have to send Johnny. Do you have your bulletproof vest on, Johnny? But I don't have to send him off to school that way because I'm not a citizen of there anymore. I don't live there anymore. Oh, do you understand? So that what you spoke may have been true in your old situation, but you're now a citizen of this place. You know, hopefully there aren't any landmines on the way to Westerville South. You understand? Well, the Word of God declares that you and I, if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, are citizens of where? Boy, are we all asleep this morning? I know you know the answer to this, a lot of you. Let's try again. The Word of God declares that if we're born again of God's Spirit, we are citizens of heaven. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I thought you knew. Citizens of heaven. Well, that's the same as being a citizen of the world, right? No, it's two different realities, two totally different situations. Two totally different situations. I guess we're having some AV difficulties. See, that's AV's in the world, isn't it? AV's in the world. That's changeable. Okay, one day it may work, the other day it may not. But spiritual realities, they're always real. They're always true. See? And you and I are citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven. So there are realities that are true of citizens of heaven that are not true of citizens of the world. And if I'm no longer a citizen of the world, then and I'm still speaking like I am, you would say I was out of touch with reality, right? If I'm sending Johnny off to school watching out for landmines, I would be out of touch with reality. Well, our reality has changed as well. Because things that are now real and true regarding you and me as citizens of heaven are different from that which was true of us in the past. You see, we are now citizens of heaven. And we need to get in touch with heavenly realities. And that will certainly reflect itself in our conversation. You know, if I were to say, you know, I'm unrighteous, I'm, you know, God's got a problem with me, I'm not sure if he really loves me, I'm sure afraid to die too. I'm sure afraid to die because I know there's nothing but worms after that. And you know, I've tried to pray once in a while, but I know he doesn't listen. All of those things died with Christ, didn't they? All of those things died with Christ. That's a lie. That's a lie. That stuff died with Christ. That's what God's Word declares. So if you were to tell me those things are true of you, then what you're telling me is, well, God lied. And then you've got a whole different issue. But if God's Word is true, which we believe it is, then for me to confess something opposite, that's just a lie. I need to get in touch with heavenly realities. On the other hand, if I were to confess, I'm righteous before God. He loves me. I'm his son. He's given me eternal life. He's given me 9 manifestations to operate. That's true. That's true. And now that we are living in a new situation, our words should reflect that new situation. If we indeed believe that that is a new situation and not just a philosophical change. A lot of people think being a Christian is just a change in philosophy or morality, for God's sake. No, it's a change in reality. See? And our words should reflect that. Okay, well, you tell me, well, it doesn't always look real. You know, I know the Word says I'm righteous, but I look in the mirror, I still see the same old face. You know, the Word says I'm righteous, but, you know, some days I don't feel righteous. Valid point. Boy, it's challenging to sum all this up, but I'm doing my best. The Word of God declares that there are two realms that God deals with. Two realms. One's the physical realm, one's the spiritual realm. Okay? They're both real. They're just separate. There's a physical realm, there's a spiritual realm. You know, there are things that God formed, made, created that inhabit the physical realm. You know, your little doggy inhabits the physical realm, doesn't he? Spiritual has no bearing on Fido. He's entirely in the physical realm. Angels and stuff inhabit the spiritual realm. That's where they hang out. Both are real, but separate. But of all God's creations, there's only one of God's creations that was formed, made, created to inhabit both realms. To have a foot in both realms. You understand? To function in both realms. And that's man and woman. See? What a unique position to be in. You know? That God has given us that unique opportunity of having access to and reality in and to live in both realms. Now, most of us, because we were born with body and soul, the physical is a little more comfortable and familiar to us. But the spiritual realm is just as real as as we'll see, it's even more real, because it's going to be around when the physical realm that we're in right now no longer has any reality. See, both realms are real. Both realms are real. Sometimes contradictory, right? Let's say the face I look in the mirror. Is that in the physical realm or the spiritual realm? That's in the physical realm. My righteousness that God's given me in Christ, that's spiritual, right? The two might contradict, right? You might look at the and say, don't see any righteousness there. But in the spiritual realm, it's true. So sometimes those things will contradict each other. But both are real. Both are real. I just need to determine which of those realities has greater precedence in my life. If God's word is true, it would indicate that the spiritual reality has greater precedence. And you know that from experience even. Because what you see in the mirror changes from day to day, doesn't it? Yeah. What you feel changes from day to day, doesn't it? But what God declares about you is true today, yesterday, tomorrow, forever. So which one would have more validity and bearing in my life? Well, it would seem that the spiritual reality would. See? So we confess these things. We speak these things. It's not merely positive thinking. Oh, please get that straight. This is not just positive thinking. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. I'm righteous. Positive thinking is speaking something that you hope will be true. Hope will come to pass. It's lying, basically. You know, because you don't know. Because you don't know. I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the basketball team. I'm only 5'5". Oh, I'm going to make the basketball. I'm going to make the basketball team. You may, if you're in a small enough school, you may make that basketball team. But what you're confessing, that's no guarantee for truth. It's at best, it's hoping. I'm going to make the team. I'm going to make the team. It doesn't change anything because it's based on a hope. It's based on a wish. When we speak God's word, it's not just positive thinking. It's not a magic formula either. You know, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. We're speaking what God has already said. See? You understand the difference? When I'm saying I'm going to make the team, I'm repeating something I made up. It may be true. May prove not to be true. When I speak what God's word it says about me, He said it first. And He's God. He's God. And He said it first. Is there a difference between words that I make up and words that God Almighty has said? You see the difference between speaking God's word and positive confession? Now, you know, you guys who like positive confession, God bless you. Do what you want to. It has nothing to do with God's word, so I have nothing to say about it. But there's a huge difference between positively confessing, I'm going to get the job, I'm going to get the job, and speaking what God's word says. Because what God's word says, see, He said it first. He said it first. So there's some solidity there. There's some guarantee there because He said it first. It's so simple. See, God says it, we just choose to believe it's true. And if I believe it's true, I'm going to speak it, right? You know, let's look at a few verses finally. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think we're kind of caught up now on where we were last week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's look at verse 5. Here's what God says about you and me. He says, and this is again, this is just in case you're not aware of it, Thessalonians was addressed to those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So this isn't necessarily true of all humanity. Let me clue you in, it's not true of all humanity. But it is true of those who believe. And it says, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That's what God says. If I believe that God knows what he's talking about, then I can boldly say, I'm a child of light. I'm not of the darkness. Right? If what God says is true, then for me to say, well, I still think I got some darkness, that would be in contradiction to God's word, wouldn't it? Oh, isn't this simple? See, he said it first. I'm just repeating what God said. If God knows what he's talking about, then my words aren't going to be true. They're just an indicator that I believe what God says is true. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. This is pretty clear cut. Ephesians 2:19. It says, now therefore, and now would mean now, good. See, you're all scholars. Yep. The Greek word here means now. The English word also means now. And so God means now. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. That was maybe a past reality. But the present reality is that you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. A pretty bold thing to say. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints. But God said it first. I'm of the household of God. He said it first. See? So for me to say, well, you know, I still think I'm a stranger to God. God says you are of his household. You say you're a stranger. Who's right? I believe God's right. See? So is there anything wrong with repeating what God has said? No, in fact, we should repeat what God has said because it's the truth. Oh, but sometimes I feel like a stranger. Okay. Sometimes I feel like a stranger too. But I know I'm of the household of God. Oh, you understand? I'm perfectly willing to stand up here and say, sometimes I feel like a stranger. But I know I'm of the household of God. Maybe sometimes you teens feel like a stranger in your family. Okay, but you know you're part of the family, right? You don't wake up one morning and get convinced that you're really adopted and you're really, you know, some rich guy's kid, right? You're my kid. I'm looking at mine here, right? Sometimes you may not feel like you're in the right place, like somehow you got switched at birth, but you know you are, right? You know you are. So great, you don't feel like a part of the household of God? Okay, just recognize that, well, my feelings change all the time, but the reality is what he says about me. You know, feelings come and go. Feelings are, I guess they've got purposes, but we don't want to build our lives and our decisions upon them, you understand? Because we all know they change, right? We all know they change. I know that if I come in tired, I feel a certain way, and I've learned, it's only taken me 45 years to learn, not to make a whole lot of decisions when I'm tired. Because, you know, when I'm tired, I kind of feel a little cranky, feel a lot of things that maybe aren't the best to feel when you're making decisions. And I realize, you know, if I get some sleep, those feelings will change. So feelings change. But these things, these realities remain true of you and me. They're always true, whatever I feel like. some great conversations came up after we got into some of these things last week. You know, a couple individuals said, even though I didn't specifically point it out, they said, oh, it would be a good idea then to learn these verses and repeat them to yourself. And I said, yeah, great idea. And I'm not making light of that. I mean, others have done that before. But I commend you on coming up with that, because absolutely, if I want these things to become a reality to me, to where I'm more and more experiencing and living in the higher realm, a great way to get there is to remind myself of what God's Word says. So when I say, well, I don't know if I feel like a citizen today of heaven, I can speak to myself, well, God's Word says in Philippians, I am a citizen of heaven. So it is a good thing to do. We teach our children that, in fact, right? We give them little rings with scriptures on them. And the reason we do that isn't so they become good little citizens of our fellowship. It's so these things become real to them. And they've got them right there in their hands where they can learn them. And first and foremost, speak them to themselves. But there's other places we can speak these truths as well. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Neighbor here is talking specifically about other believers that I'm with. It says we're to speak truth among each other. Put away lying and speak truth among each other. That means I don't like your dress. No, that's what the world talks about, being honest. Let's be honest with each other. You've heard people talk about, it's time we get honest. And usually what they mean by that is, give me the liberty to say everything that crosses my mind, positive, negative, or indifferent. The Word of God doesn't say, let's be honest with each other. Okay? Because most honest comments I've heard in my life have been based on anything but the Word of God. It says, speak the truth. It says, speak the truth. See, what I think about what you're wearing today, what you think about me, those things come and go. But the truth is what God's Word tells us about ourselves, you know. And the Word of God says one place we should be speaking that is among each other. Oh, what a revolutionary concept. That believers get together, and, you know, Bridget may say, oh, you know, I feel kind of unrighteous today. And then Casey would say to her, yeah, I know what you mean. Casey would speak the truth to her. And that way we help each other, don't we? We help each other. What a remarkable concept among Christians that we would help each other to believe God's Word by speaking the truth to each other. Speaking the truth, by the way, also doesn't mean sharing your feelings. Because like we've already handled, feelings come and go, don't they? You know, many places like marriage counselors say how healthy it is for couples to share their feelings. It's not my field, so I can only comment on that so far, but I can certainly tell you that's not what Ephesians 4 is talking about. Because feelings come and go. You know, I may feel about Wayne Merrill one day one thing and another day another thing, depending on what I ate. You know, he hasn't changed, but my feelings change all the time, right? So to share my feelings, there's no foundation for that. There's no truth to that. What we speak to each other is the truth. And that, for sure, we've got here in God's Word. That I can say, there are a lot of things I could say about you that might not be true. There's a lot of things I could say about you that might not be true tomorrow. You know, I can swear on a stack of Bibles that your hair is a certain color, and tomorrow it's different, right? But there are some things I can speak about you and to you that will always be true. And those things are the things we need to hear most when we're together with other believers, you know. And I might add, if these things are true, we're to speak them in the world as well. You know, I mentioned briefly last week about, you know, some running across somebody in a, you know, Burger King or someplace who says, well, you know, I I hurt my back. And you saying, well, I can heal you. And few people talk to me about that particular statement, but that's what the Word of God declares, right? The Word of God declares that He has given us the authority to do that. Now, whether the other person believes that or not, that's up to them. But it doesn't change the reality that I can heal you. You can heal me if you're born again in God's Spirit. I may decide you can't, and then I walk away unhealed, but that doesn't change the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has given you the authority to bring that healing to pass. That's always true. That's something you and I have in Him. So certainly you can say, I can heal you. And to say anything less would not be the truth. See? So we can speak this stuff to ourselves, among other believers, and certainly speak it in the world. It's not secret club language. You know, it's true. Oh, you understand the difference? Well, they wouldn't understand it. That's not the issue. It's true. Oh, do you see? These aren't just words we use because they're buzzwords other Christians will understand. They're true words. If it's true, it can be spoken anywhere, can't it? Oh, but they won't understand it. Well, that's really not the issue. If somebody came up to you and said, what do you do for a living? And you're a microbiologist. But you're afraid they might not understand that, so you say, well, I'm currently unemployed. You wouldn't do that, right? You'd say, I'm a microbiologist, right? You see the simplicity of this? I mean, I'm driving it into the ground because it's so much more simple than we make it. If it's true, it's true anywhere, any place, with anybody. If I'm a microbiologist, I'm a microbiologist, whether you understand what that is or not. I'm a microbiologist. So would I be afraid to say that to you? Because you might think it means janitor. No. You know what? If you don't understand, you could always ask me, what is that? And then I could explain to you, and then you could become a microbiologist. That might not work, but I could explain to you what a son of God means, and you could become a son of God, couldn't you? See? So if these things are true, we say we believe they're true. We say we believe, yeah, I'm righteous. I'll give you a whole list of things I am in Christ. Okay, if that's really true, why wouldn't I be willing to say that anywhere? If it's true, right? Certainly. It's a great subject in God's Word. You know, they may not understand. I was thinking this morning about, I've warned you before, when anybody says, I was thinking, get ready to not hear the Word. So get ready to not hear the Word, because what I think is not the Word necessarily. But when you were a child, perhaps, and you were going to school and you had on your shorts and T-shirt, well, that's what you'd have on today. When I was growing up, you had to wear, like, clothes to school. But, you know, let's say you were dressed for a nice, bright, sunny, warm day, and Mom would say, put on your raincoat. You ever have days like that where you'd be all dressed for, it's sunny out, it's nice, oh, it's a lovely day, and you're ready to go to school, and Mom says, wear your raincoat. And if you were good and obedient like me, you'd put it on, but you'd wonder why did Mom tell? And you know what, later in the day I'd find out, because it'd start raining. She just had some information I didn't have access to. See, she was watching the weather while I was watching Gerald McBoing-Boing. You understand? She just had access to information that I didn't have access to, right? And so I may have at the moment wondered, rain, was she crazy? It's sunny out. What does she mean, raincoat? Time proved her right, didn't it? Because she had access to information I didn't have access to. That's all we're doing. We have access to some information everybody might not have access to, see? Whether that's direct revelation from our Heavenly Father or whether it's written revelation. And so the current circumstances may, you know, people may say, oh, you're crazy, everything's fine. But we've just got access to some information they don't have access to. That's all we're doing when we're speaking God's Word. Now, we don't deny, you know, there are some people who say, well, these anything bad that happens in the senses realm isn't real. You ever meet people like that? You know, my leg isn't broken. My leg isn't broken. My leg isn't broken. Hey, if it's broken, you know what? It's broken. That's real, isn't it? Isn't that? But there is another reality, isn't there? So we don't deny the leg's broken. We just also don't deny by his stripes I was healed. Isn't that simple enough? We don't deny that maybe we don't feel good today, but we also don't deny that God says we've got access to him, that God says we're righteous, that God says we're his sons. That's all, see? So those things may be real, but there is a greater reality. So we don't disregard the one. We just also have the sense to not disregard the greater, you see? This would be true with direct revelation as well. If the light's green, you drive into fellowship and the light's green, it's green, right? It's green, it's green. Anybody can see it's green. Now, if you look up there and God shows you it's red, okay, you'd be wise to stop, wouldn't you? Because even though the senses reality is it's green, so it's your turn, drive on through. God knows there's somebody driving through the red light the other way that isn't going to stop. So maybe he shows you a red light. Has that ever happened to some of you? Things like that? Sure. So can God give us direct information? Can God give us the information he's given us written in his word? And sometimes it will contradict what's in the senses realm. We're not so foolish as to say there is no senses realm. Of course there is. You know, of course the leg's broken when it's broken. Of course your kid has the sniffles when he has the sniffles. How foolish to say otherwise. All we do is acknowledge that there's a greater reality. There is a greater reality. Let's look at Acts 27 for an example of this. See, we talked a little last week about denial. You know, the world calls this denial. Well, you're just denying the reality. No, I'm not. I'm just acknowledging a greater reality. You see the difference? I'm not denying the leg's broken. You're not denying the sniffles there. We're just acknowledging that there is a greater reality involved. That's all. That's all. Acts 27. In this record, the Apostle Paul is taking a little journey by ship, and he's not on the Queen Mary. He's a prisoner. He's a prisoner on this ship, so he's not, you know, he's not being invited to the captain's table. Do you understand? He's a prisoner on this ship. And in the midst of the journey, it says in verse 14, not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Okay, they couldn't fight the winds, so they just let the wind take them. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, they strake sail, and so were driven. This is quite a storm. Okay, they're in this storm. They give up trying to fight it. They just pull the sails down. They put undergirdings on the ship, which meant they'd run ropes under the ship to hold it together. And they just said, well, we're going where the wind takes us. This is quite a storm they're in the midst of, okay? And it says, we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, verse 18, the next day they lightened the ship. They started throwing things overboard. And the third day, they're in this storm for 3 days. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. So here they've been many days in this storm, can't see the sun, can't see the stars, and this tempest is going on for many days. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, this is interesting here. It says, well, I'll come back to it. Let's keep reading. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. See, originally Paul had told them by revelation, don't take this trip. He's just a prisoner, right? And who's going to listen to a prisoner? So they took it anyway. And so now he says, well, you know, you should have listened to me the first time. But he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, wait a minute. How can he say that? Is this positive confession? We'll find out. We'll find out if it's positive confession. Because anybody could say that, right? Be of good cheer. We're not in a storm. Be of good cheer. Nothing's going to happen to us. Anybody could say that. One question you got to ask yourself is, why did Paul wait so long to say it? It's been many days, right? Many days of storm. Many days of not seeing the sun or stars. Many days, it says, where we had no hope. And it says we. You know, and that's Luke writing. So that's including the believers on that ship. Many days where they just had nothing, didn't know what was going to happen. See? Remember we saw that in verse 20? All hope that we should be saved was taken away. See? What brought this great change in Paul? From all hope that we might be saved being taken away to saying, oh, be a good cheer. He just changed his attitude. Let's keep reading and find out. Verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Why did Paul wait so long? Why for those days was he like everybody else, all hope being saved, taken away? God hadn't told him anything yet. See? But then it says the night before, here's an angel saying, got a message for you, Paul. God's going to take care of you, and because of you, everybody on the ship. Now Paul has some information, right? It's like mom knowing you should wear your raincoat. Now Paul has some information. So now he can say, be a good cheer. See, when we speak these things, it's not just generated from our own mind. It's because God said it first. Oh, do you understand? God said it first. Why could Paul stand up and say, be a good cheer? Because God said it first. Why didn't he say it 2 days earlier? Because God hadn't said anything. There's the difference between positive confession and speaking the truth of God's word. He had God's word on it, so he could boldly say, be a good cheer. Because he had some information to back it up. Oh, do you understand this? This is so essential. And this would be true of direct revelation like he received. It would also be true of the written revelation as well. Once I've got this, then I've got God's word on it, and I can say, be a good cheer. I know what's happening now. If he had said it a few days before, all that he would have had to back it up was his own good intentions. But once he had information from God, he could say, be a good cheer. No harm's going to come to us. The ship's going to get lost, but no harm's going to come to us. And he could say that boldly because God said it first. See? Denial. You know, the denial. Well, let's read what God calls it. Verse 25 says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I, what? Believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God calls that believing. And isn't it? He says it, and I say, I believe that's true. And if I believe it's true, why wouldn't I speak it? Be ashamed to say the sky is blue? Or would somebody out there might think it's green? It's laughable, isn't it? Well, if I believe what God says is true, why wouldn't I speak it in that situation? God calls what Paul did in that situation believing. He didn't have any information for a while, so he didn't say anything. Once he had the information, he knew the truth. He could say, be of good cheer. See? You know, we were talking a few of us a while back about Paul in another situation where there was a woman following him around saying, these men are the great power of God who show unto us the way of salvation. You might guess, if you've been in this field for a while and you were somewhere speaking God's word, let's say you're out at Muskingum speaking God's word and somebody follows you around everywhere you go saying, these men are the great power of God that show unto us the way of salvation. These men are the great power of God. They're showing us the way of salvation. You might suspect there's a problem there, right? You might even suspect there could be something spiritual involved, right? But it says she did it for many days. She followed Paul around for many days. And then after many days, he turned to her and cast out the spirit. Why many days? Because he had to get his confidence up? No, he didn't have any information yet. And even though the senses told him, well, it looks like a spirit, I'm sure the senses told him it probably is a spirit, until God told him, it's guessing. But once God tells you, it's truth. Why not speak it? See. And the great thing is, you know, all of us as sons and daughters of God will hear from God directly at times, but we've already heard from him directly right here, so you don't have to wait to start speaking the truth. Because here it is. Look at 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 4. It's a very simple truth in God's Word. I hope I'm beating it to death enough that it's becoming clear for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Here it says it very simply. We having the same spirit of faith or believing, according as it says it first. And then I'm just repeating what he said. See? In fact, if you really want to break it down, God says it first, I believe it's true, and therefore I speak it. In a lot of circles, you'll meet people who say, well, if you just speak it long enough, you'll believe it. No, we don't do that. Okay, this isn't a technique to get you brainwashed. You know, if you say it long enough, it'll become true for you. No. We believe and therefore speak. See, this is the free will of the individual. You hear God's word and you choose to believe that it's true or choose to believe that it's hooey. If you choose to believe it's true, then why not speak it, right? So this isn't a mind control technique. Speak it till you believe it. You know, fake it till you make it. No, it's God speaks. I look at that and I may choose to say, I believe that. And therefore, that's what I'm speaking. Oh, it's that simple, right? If I am hesitant to speak certain things that I know God has said, then what I need to do is say, well, do I really believe this yet? Or do I just believe God said it? Do I believe it's true of me? Because if I do, it says very simply, what will follow is because I believe that's reality for me. That's what I'll speak. Oh, do you understand? Can I show you a couple other records about the Lord Jesus Christ? Thanks. Let's go to Luke 13. Just want to add one more layer to this for you before we close out today. Because as in all these fields, Jesus Christ was the master. Talk about being aware of spiritual realities above and beyond what was going on in the senses. Jesus Christ was and will always remain the master. There are so many great examples of that, but two that I thought might bless you are so great. The first one here is in Luke 13. It says in verse 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. I never read about that in the Word. Well, no, you haven't. It was just news of the day. Okay? The latest news was, oh, you hear about the latest thing that Pilate did? He killed all these Galileans. That was the headlines of the day. Okay? You hear, I'm not sure what today's headlines are, so I can't give you a comparison, but you've read them on occasion. These were the headlines of the day, and everybody's talking about it. Well, just like at work, right? You go to work, and all they're talking about is, oh, did you see that millionaire show? Whatever the news of the day is, that's what everybody's chatting about the next morning. Here's the situation. Oh, you hear about Paul? Yeah, Bill, how could he do that thing? Well, you know, maybe he had some reasons. Well, I don't think he had any reasons. They're all talking about the news of the day, and here comes Jesus. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Oh man, oh man, oh man. You need to see what he did? He just took this transient, present, temporary reality and brought it right to eternal matters, didn't he? They're talking about these Galileans that got killed, and he brings it in two verses. Brings it right around to the new birth. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And the great thing about it was the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't a salesman. Oh, they teach you these things, how to take anything anybody's interested in and eventually turn it around to, you know, pork products, you know, because that's what you sell. Any interest in the world, how to eventually get them there to what you want to talk about. That's not what Jesus was doing. That's just the reality he dwelled in. You see? That's where he lived. That's where he lived. Galileans being killed. All people get killed every day. But see, eternal life, that's a reality always. That's a concern of God always. And Jesus Christ, in two sentences, brings them from this temporary thing going on right there in Galilee to these eternal universal reality. Because that's where he lived. See, that was more real to him than what Pilate might be doing today. Here's another great one. Oh, I love this one in Matthew 24. You know, and you might say, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus, but you know, he lived in both realms as well, and you and I can develop the same awareness of the reality of the spiritual realm as he developed. We've got all the equipment we need. We've got the Word of God that tells us about the spiritual realm. We've got the Spirit of God within us to give specifics. We can develop that same awareness as well. And do you understand here, it's not that Jesus was just being religious in his speech. You know, oh, that Jesus, every time we want to talk about something, he brings it around in the Bible. No, this was, you know, people accuse us of that sometimes. But he spoke it because this was real to him. This was more real to anything Pilate than anything Pilate was doing. Oh, do you see the difference, you believers? Do you see the difference? He wasn't just a party pooper. Now, there will always be people who accuse you of that when you speak the word. Oh, that Lori, whatever we want to talk about, people. She always brings it back to God. So yeah, in some circles, you may not be welcome when you speak the word. Get used to it. Get used to it. I'd rather be welcome in God's circle, though, and maybe be barred or tolerated in other circles, like Jesus was. Matthew 24, he does it in two sentences again. This is great. He's walking through the temple with disciples, okay? I got to stop moving like that. And, hold on, I'm not as bad as Cindy. She got so excited one day, yesterday she pulled the whole darn thing off. So, Matthew 24, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple." Okay? They just wanted to point out the architecture. Here was with his disciples in the temple, and they said, "Oh, Jesus, do you notice the Doric, Ionic, and Corinthian columns over there? And do you notice the fine workmanship that went into that?" And they're just, you know, and the temple, from everything I've read, was a beautiful place. You know, so yeah, they're pointing out to Jesus. "Oh, you see this? Did you notice that up there, Jesus, and how the workmen just did that so wonderfully?" And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He saw something way beyond the beauty of the architecture, didn't he? Oh, man, oh, man. And he said to them, "See ye not all these things?" They saw some of the things. They saw the things in one reality, in one realm, but they were totally missing some greater things, weren't they? That's what he saw when he looked at the temple, the things that God had said about the temple that was going to come to pass. Oh, isn't that remarkable? See? And this wasn't guru talk. You know, maybe they'll think I'm really deep if I talk about how the temple... No, we think that way because we deal with that with people all day long. How can I manipulate you by my words? This wasn't Jesus manipulating. This wasn't Jesus trying to appear spiritual. This wasn't Jesus trying to sell him something. This was just where Jesus lived. See? He was just in touch with heavenly realities, and he spoke like a heavenly citizen, even though everybody around him said, "What the hell is he talking about?" Oh, do you see? Do you understand the difference? This was just, he believed and therefore spoke. He wasn't speaking to get himself to believe. He wasn't speaking to get them to believe. He was just speaking because it was real, because it was true. See, they saw the physical outside of the temple, he saw a greater truth, a more permanent truth, a more lasting truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again, please. We're gradually winding down here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, man, this is great. Verse 18 this time. Verse 13, we read, we also believe and therefore speak. Well, here it is in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians 4. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. That's a choice we make, okay? To look at the things which are not. Now, that alone sounds kind of, what do you mean, the things that are not seen? Well, it's explained in the rest of the verse, okay? The things which are seen, it says, are temporal. Are they real? Sure they're real. But they're temporal, aren't they? Feelings, temporal. Buildings, man's put up, temporal. The news of the day, temporal. Temporal means it's limited by time. You know, today it's true that Pilate killed all these Galileans. Tomorrow it won't be true. Tomorrow it'll be true that Pilate killed them yesterday. You understand? Those things change all the time. Today I feel one way, tomorrow I feel another way. But the things that are not seen are what? It says it in the verse. You can read it. The things that are not seen are what? Eternal. Eternal. So it's not a question of one's real, one's not. Both real, certainly. Both are real. But one's permanent. One's eternal. One's unchanging. And that's what we choose to look at or choose not to. Now, you know, free will in this bunch, free will in the whole world. You know, you can look at whatever you want to. The great thing I want to show you is if you want to, you can look at what's eternal. See, I think we already know if we want to, we can look at what's temporal, right? We've been doing that a long time. But if we want to, we can also look at what's eternal, can't we? When I'm standing in line waiting to buy tapes, I can think, oh man, it's sure taking a long time. I got so much to do. I got another cup of coffee to drink. Man, it's just a long wait here. I can look at what's temporal, or I could look at what's eternal, perhaps. You know, I can think about, well, since I'm here, and I got to be here, anything for me to do, Father? Well, in fact, Son, I wanted you to stand in this line because that person right next to you needs some help. And I thought that if I put the two of you together, you could help. Well, how many times do Christians walk right through those situations where God put them to bring deliverance? I never even see it because they're thinking about they got to go get another cup of coffee. They're thinking about, well, why can't they organize this thing differently? You know, maybe God worked in them to organize it that way so you could stand in line for a while and do what God wants. I don't know. But we don't know it all unless we check in with them, right? And you and I can look at that which is eternal, like the Lord Jesus Christ did, like some of these great men and women in the Word did. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, see, it's very simple. There's two realities. One of them is greater than the other. And we're living in it right now. So to acknowledge it, to look at it, to confess it, is nothing but speaking the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, this is great. It says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man that's in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Okay? The spirit of God knows the things of God. Man doesn't know it. But we haven't received the spirit of God, but we've received the spirit of God. So if you don't know the things of God without the spirit of God, and you've received the spirit of God, what can you now know? Things of God. Isn't that great? Man can't know. Of course man can't know the things of God. But if man's got the Spirit of God, he can. Isn't that fantastic? We've received the Spirit of God. Oh, I love the way God says it. Can't know anything about me without the Spirit. But, you know, you've received the Spirit, so you can. That we might know. God says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So does he want us to know those things? Is he keeping them hidden? No. Now that we have his Spirit, he wants us to know the things that are freely given to us. Oh, look at this. Which things also we what? Speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. I'm sure that if there are some of you here who are, you know, not born again, perhaps, or maybe new to these things, don't yet know what you have in Christ, some of the things I'm saying sound like science fiction to you. I wouldn't teach them what God's Word says. You know what I mean? And certainly, it's not in the wisdom of the world. Okay. but it's the wisdom that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And now verse 14, newsflash. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. So if I tell the natural man I'm righteous before God, when he sees me, he sees Jesus Christ, I've got access to him 24 hours a day, and the natural man says, that's foolish. That's what the Word of God tells us ahead of time, right? Because he doesn't have the equipment. He doesn't have the equipment to interact in that realm. He's limited to one realm. So, of course, the other is foolishness too. If he can't see it, hear it, smell it, taste it, it's not real to him. But we have access to information that he doesn't have yet because he doesn't yet have the Spirit of God. So, of course, it's foolishness to him. I'm a microbiologist. Of course, he's not going to understand. That's okay. Does that change the truth of it? No. He just doesn't have the equipment he needs yet. See, it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth what? All things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What a great place to be in. The man or woman who's spiritual judges all things, but can't be judged of any. They try to figure you out, try to pin you down, try to say, okay, you're this category, this type of personality. I've run my tests, and you fit right in. Well, sometimes you fit in here, then sometimes you can't be judged by the senses realm, see? But with the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we can make judgments in the senses realm and the spiritual realm. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Well, we have the mind of Christ, it says. Isn't that a wonderful place to be as born again with? But we need to then choose to look at those things which are eternal. That's a choice that's left up to you and me, see? God says it first. We simply choose to believe it. And then because it's true, well, why wouldn't I speak it? You know, people think that it's religious talk or, you know, not cool to talk that way. They just don't understand. How are you today? As he is. Oh, you always give us those kind of answers. Well, because they're true. See? Because they're true. And because he said it first. You know, I may not always see it with my senses eyes. I may not always feel it, but God said it. Therefore, it's true. In fact, it's more valid than what I see and hear. You know, those people who criticize you or barely tolerate you for speaking the word, what kind of fruit are they getting in their lives? You know, people who think you're being religious because you say you're as he is, and they'd never say something like that. What kind of fruit are they reaping in their lives? By confessing that they're sick, by confessing that they're no good, by confessing what they feel, by confessing what they see. Have you noticed all the great fruit they're reaping? Have you noticed how abundant their lives are by confessing the realities of the senses? Have you noticed that? This is humorous, okay? You could smile at it. In other words, if you've looked at people who confess those things, Christian or not, you've seen that they're not bearing much fruit that I would want anyways, right? So if they who are to criticize you for what you confess, you can see the fruit they're reaping from what they confess. You know, I choose to reap the fruit that God says is mine as I believe his word. You know, again, this is a choice you and I make as born again ones. Which reality is going to be our reality? Which are we going to consider the greater reality? I understand feelings have a strong pull. You know, what I feel, boy, it's just got to be true because I feel it so deeply. It's a decision I make. You know, before I decide that my feelings are more valid than the Word of God, however, you know, you might want to ask yourself, where has building my life on feelings gotten me so far? You know, have they always proved right? They've always felt right. I know they've always felt right. But when I made my decisions based on those feelings, have those decisions always worked out the way I thought they would? That's a good question to ask yourself, right? If I've made decisions on what I think about people or what I think might happen, have those decisions always worked out the way I thought they would? Good question to ask yourself before you make the final decision that, hey, the Word of God's nice, but I know what I feel must be true. Well, good to ask yourself, where's that brought me so far? You know, because God's Word, some of us believe, is truer than what we see here, smell, taste, and touch. More eternal, more dependable, more faithful. And see, it's all this whole subject that I've spent all this time talking about really comes down to something very simple. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 again. We'll close out there. Really comes down again to something very, very simple, and that is God said it first. Okay? God said it first. And I choose to believe that He knows more than I do. That He knows more than my senses might indicate. That He knows more than my feelings might indicate. And because I've made that choice, that's what I would speak. It's very simple, isn't it? The great other side of it is, however, then that will reflect the fruit that I bear in my life. If I'm bound and determined that my senses are more true than any other standard, fine, live your life by that. But you will reap the results of that, okay? If I am determined that God's Word is more true than any other standard of the senses, then I make my decisions accordingly, and I'll reap the fruit of that, see? So when I speak what God's Word says, it's not some kind of technique, it's not some kind of forced change. It's just speaking what I've already decided I'm going to regard as truth. And that's what God would have us do as well, clearly in His Word, is if we're going to believe His Word, and if we do believe His Word, then why should we be afraid to speak His Word? Whether it's about what He says regarding us, what He says regarding future events, what He says regarding the world, what He says regarding His Son, Jesus Christ. Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having the same spirit of believing, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Okay, so I hope that's a subject that's a little more understandable to you now. And sorry it took 2 weeks, but I think it needed 2 weeks. So we're going to close out with a song here. He's waiting for me to pray, and I'm not praying today. We're just going to sing.